Welcome into in-game chat. I'll turn this down just a bit here to get this set how I like it. Turn that up just a bit there. There we go. Okay. Just finding the spot. Hey, welcome to in-game chat. It is Saturday, February the 28th, 2025, season 20, episode 6. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you being here. And thanks for giving us the week off last week. We appreciate it. So, if you want to do anything as far as reaching out to us, we've got ingamechat.net for all the links that you can use to get in touch with us. You can also find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook. We're on Blue Sky with InGameChat. You can also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net, not .com. Keep that in mind. It's just like our website. It's ingamechat.net. It is everyone at ingamechat.net. That's just how it works. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Go over to twitch.tv, type in in-game chat. You will be able to find us there and watch us live while we broadcast here. And you can also join in the chat room there on Twitch, which we've got a few people in there already. And let me get this out of the way. So you can also go to Discord as well. We got our Discord set up. The link to that is going to be at the bottom of our page at our website, ingamechat.net. And that'll get you in. I know you don't have to like jump through any hoops. You just click on that. You know, if you've got the app on your phone, you'll need to put it on your phone. If not, or you can put it on your PC or whatever and join us in the Discord. I don't even know if you have to have the app to do that. You may can do like a web version of it or something. I don't know. I am not familiar with that. So anyway, yeah, but welcome to the show, everybody. And it's been a couple of weeks. If we stumble over anything, it's usually the case whenever we take 1 week off. We usually trip up a little bit on getting back into the swing of things. But
yeah, we don't need a vacation for that.
So far, so good. Hmm. So far.
Yeah.
Unless something comes up and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to do that. But so far, we're good. Bama Brian, which is not what he says his name is in the Twitch chat, but that's what I remember his name being. He says the web version works as far as Discord is concerned. So, yeah, you don't actually have to get the app for that. Anyway, welcome into the show. RJ, what'd you play?
Well, outside of the standard fare of GT Online, MLB The Show, and Virtua Fighter 5, I did put some more time in First Ascendant. They put a little challenge in there for returning players. You know, the dailies, basically your dailies in any free-to-play shooter, things like that. They took some of the old equipment and just made you go through, just do four missions, and you get all the pieces you need to start building them on your own.
Yeah.
So it's a lot better than having to go through fighting these colossal boss battles to get a chance at getting the pieces you need to start building for yourself. So it's a little easier to get the older equipment that you've been grinding for in months past. So I've been doing some of those. Also, for laughs, I booted up Mutant Football League.
Yeah.
Started playing a few games of
that. We've been talking about that.
Yeah. I played a few games of that and had a good time with it. You know, Tim Kitzrow of NBA Jam fame, mm-hmm. doing the sports commentary for Mutant Football League as well. And I'm still getting it's more of the same from last year, from the prequel.
Yeah.
But it got a little more stuff in there, a few more modes to play. Updated rosters with parodies of their names, parodies of companies. I just noticed some parodies for McDonald's and Burger King and Nike going all through there. Pretty.
How old's that game? When's that game? What's the age on that game?
I got it on PS5. It wasn't. It's not too.
Wait, what? It's more recent? I must be thinking of the wrong game.
Mutant Football League 2.
Huh.
Original came out a while back.
Okay, I thought you were playing the original, but you're playing the sequel.
Yeah, I'm playing the sequel now, yeah. Let's see, when did that release? Initial release was May of, 2024, so new to me, because I've recently picked it up. I didn't know it existed.
All right, so May of 2024, but the first one came out when?
Let's see, the first one was, 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been a minute.
Hmm. Wasn't there another type game like that?
Yeah, EA's Mutant League Football.
Mutant League Football, not Mutant Football League.
Yeah.
God, okay. That's where the confusion is.
Yeah. Basically, the...
What a way to get around a name, a copyright.
Yeah.
What's the name of their game? All right, we'll flip the two words and call it something, and that's going to be the name of our game.
Yeah, and it worked. So there you go. But yeah.
What's their game called? Halo. Ours is going to be called Ola.
That might work, actually.
I know, right?
That might work. Someone did a meme of that, I think, before. They put Master Chief in a sombrero and put
they
it on the cover.
They
called it Ola. That's how they did it. Got around.
There have been, and they're rare.
Yeah.
Parody games. Mm-hmm. Now there are some games that are just kind of a parody of the genre itself. I'm trying to remember the name of the game, but it was something, I think it was on 360 or PS3 or 2. God, I can't remember. It was like this action-type game, but it was so tongue-in-cheek with the fact of, like, you could hit the start button and you got an achievement for doing it.
I want to say it was Pauly Shore was in that game, I think.
I don't remember that.
No, I think it was... I think it was some parody that he was involved in. But I do remember an achievement where you just hit the start button.
Well, a couple of games have done that, yes. A couple of games have had it where the achievement, you know, you hit the start button, you get an achievement. I think one of the Simpsons games did that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like an action game. The tutorial was just a complete parody of action video game tutorials.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember. I want to say it started with like an M, like it was called Max something or Max Maximum Action or some kind of. But it was just all kinds of just making fun of the genre.
Yeah.
And not just the genre, but I think video games in general. I think it was kind of spoofing in some ways. And I cannot remember the name of it. I really can't. I remember playing a little bit of the tutorial and enjoying the humor, but just not enjoying the game enough to continue playing.
Yeah.
I
just saw a little list here.
Of parody games?
Yeah. Trying to think about the one that would match the one you were describing, but I'm not seeing it. What our oldest list is. But,
well, I mean,
Moon Remix RPG Adventure.
I'll try and look something up here during the break, or maybe when you continue talking. But.
A bunch of Lego games got in here as well. Of course, South Park, Stick of Truth. That was
well. See, yeah, no. Those are though. That's this went heavy into the ridicule and making fun of games. And I get that South Park does that with theirs and like some of the Lego games. I'm talking about this would have been before then.
Yeah.
The one that I was originally thinking of was a parody game that was done. It was a parody game of Myst.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was called Pissed.
Okay.
So Myst is spelled MYST, and this was like PYST.
Yeah, that would be the obvious, kind of obvious name for a parody of Myst.
Yeah. And I want to say it had John Goodman in it.
Hmm.
I don't remember. I never bought the game.
Yeah,
but I want to say that it was just we're going to make a video game. We're going to hire this actor probably for a lot more than it took us to make the video game itself.
Yeah,
and we're going to just Myst was massive.
Mm-hmm.
Myst was a huge success at the time of its release, and so they likely bet on the fact that let's just release this as a parody. We're not going to put a whole bunch of money into it, but because it's sharing the spotlight, I guess, or at least, being whatever it is, that maybe we'll pick up some sales from that and it'll be, I have no idea how well the game did. I don't even know if the game was good. I have no clue. But yeah, it was a direct parody of a game, and I'm not sure that anything else exists like that. There are parodies of video game genres and video games themselves. But a direct parody of a video game, I don't know that existed except for with that. There may be. I know that Penn and Teller did Sega CD or something, the bus drive,
mm-hmm.
which now they've turned into a charity thing, where you simulate a real drive, and I can't remember where it was from, but it's long. It's a really long drive, and you have to do the thing. Yeah, you have to do the same thing you would as if you were driving a bus. Mm. It wasn't cross country, but it was really long, and they do it. They do it now for charity.
I just looked up something. It was something canceled. Something called Smoke and Mirrors, but a canceled minigame compilation. Yeah.
That was the Penn and Teller thing?
Yeah, Penn and Teller.
That may have been part of it. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I am not sure. But anyway, continue on with what you played, because while you do that, I'm going to see if I can figure out what this parody game was that I was trying to think of.
Well, yeah. I tried to get a little more with Balatro. Balatro as well. Failed again.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to get that third deck open that you had on yours. It wasn't the magic one. It was I can't recall. It had a swirly background to it. Can you recall the name of it? It was one after, before magic, the deck that you opened up. I don't know, the red, the blue. Then you had magic.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to help you on that. I do not remember. It's been so long since I've jumped into that game.
Yeah,
I do not remember the different sections.
It's been a long time since I've got back into it, but it was just something about trying to unlock everything that I've hadn't unlocked yet in that game. Just work unfinished, really. But yeah, outside of those three, I haven't played much outside of the standard fare, other than Balatro and Mutant Football League, and a little bit more of First Ascent. I'm going to have to be playing that more often, because the daily missions that are on there now, that makes stuff easier to get. I can build up my weapons now, because you have to get like four of the same weapon to build it up to max efficiency in there. So that's what I'll probably be working on more than anything else later on this week.
I'm still looking up. I'm still looking
up the
it up, yeah.
Parody games. No, when you say parody, you trying to think of the one like what Airplane did for disaster films, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. You're right.
Yeah.
Boy, this is going to be tough for me to find.
There should be plenty of them for the first-person shooter genre, if that's the case.
Yeah, but
that's dying for a parody.
It's just so difficult to kind of Google this when you have so little information.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Video game parody, PS. Let's go Xbox 360 and see what I can find. You're listening live as we search the internet.
Well, they just looked up one.
It
says,
there
Duty
it is.
Calls.
I found it.
Yeah, what you got?
I already found it. Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard.
Okay, I've heard of that one.
It says, this is perhaps the most direct parody, featuring a washed-up 80s action hero attempting a comeback. It mocks various genres, including shooters, platformers, and survival horror, while featuring cameos from character types representing famous gaming icons. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I was thinking of. Oh, they have Gotham City Imposters in this list. I typed in video game parody Xbox 360, and it gave me a bunch of stuff. Duke Nukem Forever is in there. That was a parody in itself, just because of the development time on that. Gotham City Imposters, a multiplayer-only first-person shooter that acts as a satirical take on the Batman universe, where amateur vigilantes dressed as Batman fight criminals dressed as the Joker. And what a fun game it was.
That's a well-liked game, man. That would mean people were trying to like find servers to bring that back, because that was a well-liked title.
Well, if you ever want to watch, I think... something I remember enjoying just the tutorial. I did not continue playing it, not because it was bad, but because because I just didn't like the gameplay. I don't know, but yeah, go find you a playthrough of that and take a look at it. I do remember it being pretty funny at the time. What's the 2009? Mm-hmm. So understand that the jokes that I'm looking at there are from 2009. Okay. I thought I had recently updated my watch, and there was an icon on my exercise part as though I was doing an elliptical right now. And I just didn't, I was like, well, how did that get set? How did that get changed? Anyway, sorry for the distraction there. Anyway. So that's all you played for the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Mine's not going to be any better, by the way.
So there was another one, Matt Hazard, Blood Bath and Beyond.
What year was that?
2010, PS3, Xbox 360.
Oh.
A downloadable game for the PS Network and Xbox Live. The sequel to Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard.
Let's see. Thar says, so you remember a tutorial from a 2009 game that you never played beyond that. Yeah, I know. I get it. I know. It's very strange, the stuff that sticks in your brain. The little things that stay dormant in your head from something else. That's the thing. I remember things I liked. Vaguely. Things that gave me a chuckle. Or things that were... And if you asked me to do it right now, like, hey, do another one. And I'd be like, I can't at the moment. Because I can remember some of them. Like, I remember the name of the game now, Wet, which I really liked.
Yeah, the one I haven't finished.
But I could have told you, like, if I couldn't remember that name, I could have told you a bunch of stuff about it, mm-hmm. about how it was very cinematically driven.
Yeah.
But very over-the-top cinematically driven.
Very.
And I could have given you tons of stuff about that and not remember the name, but I actually do remember the name. But this one is one that every now and again I'll remember enjoying or giggling or laughing at the tutorial, but never really playing the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that, hey, they got their humor right, you know? They've really nailed what they're doing here. And maybe it's aged horribly. I don't know. I haven't gone back to it to see. But at the time, I hadn't played anything like that. There was so not serious about what it was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm trying to think of another title that fits that. God Hand. Remember that one?
I never played it. I know the name.
Yeah,
but I never
God
played
Hand
it.
Was like, I guess it would be like a parody of Fist of the North Star or something along those
Again,
lines.
Again, I never played that either, so I wouldn't know. But yeah, that's the one I was talking about. As for what I've played, I can tell you I played Snap. I was playing Snap whenever RJ showed up here a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I played Proverbs again, of course. So I was out of town most of the week this past week and could not get my Steam Deck to connect to the hotel Wi-Fi. But Steam Next Fest was going on. It started Monday mm-hmm. or Tuesday. And that sucks because it's like, hey, there's tons of demos, but I could not get into playing any of them until I got back, and I didn't get back until Thursday night. Then I had to get up and go to work on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So some yesterday, some today, I got to play a little bit of, and I'm going to forget them off the top of my head. Well, I will say that I played Vampire Crawlers, which is the deck game. It's Vampire Survivors, but they made it into a deck-building game.
Oh, okay.
I played some of that this morning, and I really enjoyed it. These are free demos on Steam, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Vampire Crawlers is one that I will pick up whenever it releases. That was fun. I mean, Vampire Survivors is a no contest when it comes to, is that game fun? Yes, it is. I will pick that up. It's also very cheap. I am hoping the same thing stays with Vampire Crawlers. And it also stays on the cheap end. More than likely it will. The other game that I played was Find My Frogs. Somebody, I think it was at PC Gamer, had mentioned that Find My Frogs was like this really chill, you know, what do they call them? Hidden object games.
Mm-hmm.
Very chill, hidden object game. And it absolutely is. The items are well hidden. The items being frogs, are very well hidden. It's not too difficult, but like the demo has you find like 60 frogs in one image. And you're thinking, well, that should be not too bad. And it's not for most of the part. But when you get down to having like five left, it gets rough. But it's honestly, you know, it's a real chill game. And if the price is low, like the first, it's a sequel to another game. But the first game, I think, is only $3 and change.
Mm.
Sure, that's easy enough to pick up.
Yeah. You said 60 frogs, right?
It was something like that. It was 50 or 60.
It was like now it was 60 individual or something like some if you put all these images together, they build up into one big image of a frog or something like that.
No. Like it was a scene, like it was a treetop.
Okay.
And, you know, you had some frogs sitting in a pool outside on a leaf of the tree, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just, it was all this different stuff. Or they were hiding behind a branch, and all you could see were their little eyes popping up. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's one, click, click, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's honestly, I anytime one of these websites are like, hey, this is really fun, this is really neat, I'll kind of get my eye on it and just be like, well, maybe I should go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a genre that I have no problem with. Like, obviously, if they come and say, hey, here's this turn-based combat system that's really fun, yeah, I'm a little iffy.
Yeah.
Here's a hidden object game that's like really nice and chill and everything else. Sure, why not? I'll give it a shot. Here's a racing game that does this really cool thing. Sure, why not? I'll give it a shot. So I tried out that. It was nice. The other one I tried out was, and I did that this morning as well. Dinsa Attack, I think. Is that what it's called? Man. Dinsh Attack. Dinshattack. Dinsh Attack. This is the one where you're playing a train that can do all kinds of tricks.
Oh, yeah. Looks like Jet Set Radio.
It has a very Jet Set Radio aesthetic to it.
It's a train doing grinds on the rails.
Yeah.
Spinning, yeah. If you were, you do not want to ride a train doing the stuff that this thing is
doing.
Man, yeah.
That has a ton of potential. I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
it has. It is the most Dreamcast-esque visually looking thing that I have ever seen. It has a lot of potential there. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. The jumps, the kick flips, the turns, the different things you could do, the way you have to drift. It's not really a drift, but there's a tiny middle mini game anytime you take a turn to like hold your brake down and then release when it's in the sweet spot to get a boost. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, grind the rails.
It was a lot of fun
with an actual train. Yeah.
And it's going to take some getting used to. It is definitely a controller game, so keep that in mind if you're looking to play this either on PC or when I would imagine it would release on consoles. I think this thing will be, I think it'll be very successful for them.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing is, and something I noticed because I looked in some of the other demos, this game released with its own demo page. Some games on Steam, and this might be a little convoluted to talk about, but some games on Steam. Like, here's our game page, and from our game page, you can download the demo.
Right.
Some games, such as this one, the Dinsh Attack, if I'm pronouncing that right, release their demo on its own page. What apparently that does for them is it lets people review the game. If you put your demo on your game page and your game's not out yet, people cannot leave a review. But if you put the demo out on a separate page, as though this is just our demo page, people can review it. And that game was overwhelmingly positive. I don't know how many reviews it had, but it was overwhelmingly positive. In fact, I can click on this and go there and tell you. Oh wait, no, it says no user. Well, what did I look at that had positive reviews?
Yeah, I'm looking at it says no user reviews.
Maybe I'm thinking of the vampire game. No, what was I looking at? Was it Crawlers? No.
No.
Man. There's some game that had its own, and I don't know what it was. Now I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing all the types of different tricks people are going to be doing when this comes out, or the demos that people.
Well, now I feel weird. Now I feel like an idiot because I can't find it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, maybe it changed in the time it took for you to see it. And
man,
get
who knows?
Today.
Who knows? That sucks, though, because I swear I saw something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not know what it was for. But yeah, Steam Next Fest is going on, and it's there's a lot of stuff to explore and look at and check out. So if you guys are going to want to go out there and play some of these demos and take a look at things, by all means, let us... Oh, there we go. I found it. It's a game called Replaced. It is looks like a side scroller type game with a I'm not sure what the aesthetic would be, but yeah, it's called Replaced, and it's got its own demo page, and it is currently sitting at very positive reviews with 1,624 reviews, very positive. So that's another one I have installed, but I have not played it yet.
Replaced?
Yes.
Is it Sad Cat Studios?
Yes.
Okay. Dark cyberpunk thriller. Looking at the things here, it looks like a more detailed version of Limbo.
Likely.
Yeah.
Something in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
Super Game Sniper says, have you heard of Super Battle Golf? I have not heard of Super Battle Golf. 400,000 players since launch on Steam? Now I have to look up Super Battle Golf.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That it. Released on February 19th. Overwhelmingly positive.
I mean, $7.19 ain't bad. It doesn't...
Wait, is this dude laying mines on the golf course?
I mean, possibly.
Huh. Let's see. Mines on the course. There's golf carts rolling in the lake. He did say, battle golf, yeah, looks like it. Now, okay, so yeah. Mines, rocket launchers, golf carts out of control, and you're trying to tee up shots in the middle of all this chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like, let's go play a round of golf while the world explodes around us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was another game I wanted to try out. I remember. I only now have remembered what it was. Minos. I'm going to add that to my library so I'll remember. It's a game called Minos where you play as a labyrinth maker.
Mm-hmm.
And you set traps. It's almost like a tower defense.
Okay.
It feels a lot like a tower defense, but you set traps and... What does it say? Minos is a maze-building roguelite where you, the fabled Minotaur, must defend your sanctuary from bloodthirsty adventurers. Design and redesign deadly labyrinths, set traps, and turn every brave fool into your next victim.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Devolver-published game, and they're usually pretty good about what they pick up.
Yeah.
Devolver's pretty good about that, so...
Instead of tower base defense, I guess.
Yeah. So check that out if you can. We're at our first break here, and we're going to take that break. We are still in... I just decided to keep us going in new game releases from last year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where we're at as far as the month or the year. We're in June somewhere in there. But this is a track from a game called Wizard of Legend. I don't have a track title for it, but this is what it is, Wizard of Legend. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is music from a game called Peak. The title of that track is called Shore. So, welcome back to the show. And I don't know what we want to jump into. We only got about 20 minutes here to get to the top of the hour here. We'll hit some of these smaller news stories here. I say they're smaller news stories, but Steam Deck is currently out of stock because of RAM shortages. That, and there's something else that was also out of stock, I believe, because of RAM shortages, and I can't remember what it was, or at least prices were going to increase because of the RAM shortages as well, and I don't remember what the other thing was. But yes, currently you could not at the time of this, and again, this is probably going back to the 2 weeks ago, because I remember seeing something pop up on my little Wario Twitter thing that said there were Steam Decks available, OLEDs anyway, in the 1 terabyte version that were available, but most of them are going to be hard to find, and they're going to continue to be hard to find unless you get them secondhand, get them from somebody else who's selling them. Likely at a markup, probably at a markup, but yeah, due to the RAM situation that's going on, which sucks for everything. What else do we have? So, something I do every single time I post a show, I talk about how long it's been since we've had a Splinter Cell game. Now, that does not include, I can't remember what I put in there, but it doesn't include like guest appearances or anything like that. It should also not include remakes. But given that we had heard they were working on a remake, I'll give it to them if they ever get it released. Because we've known about this remake, oh God, I don't know how long now. The article here from IGN says that Ubisoft has said its long-awaited Splinter Cell remake remains in development despite layoffs at the studio working on the project. 40 jobs will be lost at Ubisoft Toronto, the company has now announced, as part of an ongoing push to cut costs that have seen thousands of employees depart over the past few years. In a statement sent to IGN, Ubisoft said that work on Splinter Cell was unaffected by the redundancies. The company announced plans to make a remake to the original Splinter Cell back in December of 21. But that's all we've really heard of since that time. Now, we did get a Netflix television show out of it. But yeah, they said that the continues development on the Splinter Cell game and serves as a co-development partner on Rainbow Six, along with supporting additional co-development projects. The project remains firmly under wraps without any kind of a release window. Still, some positive news emerged late last year when the remake's original director announced that he had returned to recommence his role after leaving Ubisoft in 2022. And so now we just sit and wait. So yeah, still waiting on a Splinter Cell game. I would like something new and fresh rather than it being a remake, but at this point, I will take a remake. If I have to get a remake in order to continue getting more, I will take it. Because I do enjoy my Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
We've not seen a Splinter Cell in forever.
Mm-hmm.
2013, I believe, was the last one that we had released. So we're now hitting 13 years since we've had a Splinter Cell game. At least, and I'm pretty sure we're not getting one this year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how many changes do you think would be made to it if it does come out?
I don't know. I don't know what change you would make. It's pretty straightforward. It's a third. Well, don't make it a games as a service thing, which I don't know how you would do that in the type of game that Splinter Cell is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leave it to the execs to figure out a way. But I don't know, and that may be part of the delay.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the delay may be looking at it like, let's just do a that's likely why they're going with a remake. Don't make something new because this is a single-player thing. There's no way that we can really continuously make money off of it like we could with something that is a games-as-service thing. Mm-hmm. Which, honestly, Ubisoft, outside of maybe Rainbow Six Siege, I suppose, and there could be some others that they've tried, they don't seem, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be absolutely missing out on something that Ubisoft does that is in that vein of let's continue to feed them content over and over and over and over again without whatever the sort of the games as a service type stuff.
Yeah.
It's stuff that we hate.
Yeah.
That apparently they all think we want, but we don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft, I don't think, has a lot of those, outside of maybe Rainbow Six. And I'm not necessarily sure that Rainbow Six is one of those things. It likely is, but it's been successful for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it's... I don't know if it's free-to-play. It might be free-to-play. I'm not sure.
Rainbow Six Siege. Division right now.
The Division doesn't feel like it's a games-as-a-service type thing.
Yeah, it's got season... But
it does.
Season
you're
seven?
Right, it does. It does not have...
Season 7... Chapter 3 now?
Nah, you're right. You're right. It could probably be considered one because it does not necessarily have an ending, you know?
No.
So it could be considered. I've never really looked at it as one, but it could be considered one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that feeling of one, but yeah. Maybe. So, I don't know. If they're trying to do that with Splinter Cell, I don't know how you would, but you've done it with The Division, you've done it with all these other games. It's likely that you guys would find a way to...
As long as I don't hear something that says...
Suck up all the fun out of it.
Yeah, I was about to say, as long as I don't hear something that says we're trying to bring out the modernized version of Splinter Cell, and I put that along the lines of, like you just said, take all the fun out of it.
Yeah, and I don't know what they would do. I really don't. But they would more than likely...
Something that wouldn't appeal to the original fans of the Splinter Cell.
More than likely, they would remove the single-player aspect. If they wanted to do that. And I hate to speculate, because they could legitimately be doing something that is... I mean, this is why they're doing a remake. They're doing a remake of the original. That's absolutely fine. It may have a multiplayer component in there, just like Pandora Tamara did, Mercs versus Spies, which was a good... That's a good multiplayer thing. It's something that you can choose to do, and you don't have to do it, but you can choose to do it. That was very good and stayed with the game franchise for a good while there. But the reason they're going with a remake rather than something brand new is because, you know, let's see if the audience is still there for it. We don't know because it's been 13 years now currently. By the time this game releases, it'll have been even more. So go with something that is a remake because you'll be able to pull in the people who have already played the game and kind of want to go back to something that like, ooh, this is... First off, the first Splinter Cell was like 2007 or 2000 and... No, it goes back further than that. 2004 maybe? Like if you go back to the first game, you got to think that if they're doing something new with this, it's going to look a ton better.
Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell was initially released for the Xbox mid-November of 2002.
Two, okay. I said four. I was off by 2 years, but 2002, yeah. You absolutely, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You do a remake right now, you're going to get something that looks amazing. Mm. Assuming they're not just taking the old code and, like, cleaning it up a little bit and, you know, pushing it through a filter type of thing that where it still looks... gross, but it's got a little bit of a sheen to it, you know what I'm saying? Some, you know, build it from the ground up. Don't do something like that. Don't take the old stuff. By then, if they had, I figured we'd already have a release by now. This feels like they're taking it and like, no, we're completely remaking the game using current engines and everything else, and I think that's what the article said that they were doing. So, but you've got a built-in base. You're not putting out something new that could make or break. You've got... that you've already worked on it or that you've already released the game, you know there's an audience, you're likely not spending as much as you would if it was a brand new game, and therefore your risk is low. I don't know why they've abandoned the franchise. I really don't know why they abandoned that franchise. Far Cry took over for them. Assassin's Creed took over for them. Those two franchises just ran with the ball, and they never gave Splinter Cell another chance. Now, they gave Tom Clancy plenty of chances. Tom Clancy's In War, Tom Clancy The Division, Tom Clancy whatever, Soup Kitchen, I don't know. But, like, they have...
Cooking Simulator.
Yeah, they have put out a ton of the Tom Clancy stuff, but they've left Splinter Cell in the dust here. Rainbow Six really worked well for them. In fact, I think they bought the Tom Clancy name, if I remember right. Ubisoft actually shelled out and said, no, we're going to buy your name. That way, we can just continue to put this out and have Tom Clancy, which I don't know why. Nobody ever says, I don't ever say Tom Clancy's The Division. I just say The Division.
The Division, yeah.
I just say Rainbow Six. I just say Splinter Cell. I never say Tom Clancy Splinter Cell, Tom Clancy Rainbow Six. I never. Mm-hmm. No. I just don't. I never say Bob Kane, Batman, Arkham Asylum, or man, and forgive me. I know there is another creator associated with the character of Batman, and I am forgetting the name at the moment. Bill Finger, I believe is his name.
Hmm.
Yeah. Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
Yeah.
Where did I pull that name from? I can't remember a game from 2009... that had a funny tutorial, but I can pull a name of a creator out of my head.
Batman's important to you.
Apparently.
Yeah, if it's important to you, you're going to remember it.
Yeah, but it's only been recently that this guy has gotten the credit for the creation of that character.
Mm-hmm.
Out of countless movies and everything else, if you go back to Batman 89, if you go back to any of the previous Batman movies, in fact... the first time I think this guy got credit in a cinematic sense was the Snyder film, Batman v Superman. One where the second one that he had done.
Yeah.
I think that is the first time that he had gotten a credit as creator alongside Bob Kane, I believe. I think that's correct. It's one of those things where everybody went back and they're like, you know, this guy had a hand in making this character as well. You know, this guy came up with a whole lot of things that we still use today for the character. He probably needs accreditation for that.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally got it. So
yeah.
Anyway, enough of me, you know, I mean, we're already a nerd show and then I just went super nerd on that for a little bit. Forgive me.
Maybe they're just scared. Like something I've noticed a lot of companies just risk averse. Just they got a title, they can do something with it, but they're scared to make a decision and put it out there.
Oh no, absolutely,
to compete with others.
Like I said,
yeah, there's so many.
The reason they're doing the remake is because it's going to cost them less than doing a full fledged game, even though they may be remaking it from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they have to do play testing, but it's probably a lot less money involved,
mm-hmm.
probably manpower as well, to remake a game of which you already have everything built in. You don't have to get a script writer or a story writer or anything like that. There's probably a lot of other things that aren't needed because it already exists and was already done. So, and this way you're not putting a whole... bunch, you're not putting all your eggs in one basket and hope that it lands safely.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it, put it out there. If it sells well and goes well, then you can look at maybe doing something next, you know, that is original. You'll already have the structure, the skeleton of what you want to do. You'll already have the engine built for the game. You'll already have whatever, all of that will be in place already after the remake. And the money from that can kind of go towards working on a new title if it does well. I think the Netflix show is getting a second season. I don't know. But I think that...
Are they contracted to get a second season?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because sometimes we've seen where shows are terrible in their first season, but they were contracted to do two seasons, mm-hmm. and they still go through with it.
They do, and usually drop the ball. I can't remember what I'm thinking of at the moment, but I know Arcane has a really good first season. The second season, not so great. Still pretty good, but not so great.
Probably typical sequelitis on that one.
Maybe. I'm not sure. That first season was fantastic to me. But the second season, it was still good, but it did not hold a candle that second season of Arcane. First season, great. Devil May Cry is getting a second season.
Mm.
Did you watch the first?
Mm.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I saw the direction. I was like, no.
Oh, man, I loved it. So I was glad to see that it's getting a second season. What else do we have? Castlevania got, what, two or three seasons? And then another...
The Nocturne, yeah.
Yeah.
Castlevania was pretty good to me.
It got three seasons, and then it got another show. Yeah, exactly. So it did pretty good.
I don't know how well that second show is doing.
I don't either. I don't even know if I remember seeing the second show.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So, yeah. I like talking about video game series.
Yeah.
When they work. I haven't watched Tomb Raider, although
reverence for the source material, yeah.
Yeah.
When they do.
I still haven't seen the second season of Fallout.
I think...
Did you... Go ahead.
I think some people... I'm getting the feeling that it's kind of hit or miss with some folks. I'm not sure, but I don't have Amazon Prime, so I've just been going off reviews and what friends of mine who have it been telling me about it. There, like some of them like it, some are a little cold on it. But
yeah,
I need to just get some solid reviews of especially what fans of Fallout feel about season two.
What was the other one? What was I going to say? Did you probably? Your answer on this is probably no. I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It popped up through Wario.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it said the first image of whatever the actor who's playing Kratos and whoever the actor is that's playing Atreus from the God of War Amazon live action thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the first image of those two.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to take a look at that?
No, but I think weeks before, I think I saw the actor they picked for the role, and I mistakenly thought it was the guy who played in Walking Dead,
right?
And the I think the guy who lost his hand,
yeah,
and was doing that. I thought it was him, but it was someone else. But they're similar enough, but I didn't see the latest image.
It did not look good. It did not look good to me. And I think most of the internet agreed with me as well. Or at least I was siding with the internet, which sometimes is not the best thing in the world. But I remember the replies. The replies on that tweet from Wario, people were like, that's AI, isn't it? That looks like AI. And legitimately to me, it looked like a mock-up. It looked like a heavily detailed AI mock-up of what these two people would look like in their costume and everything else. And it looked like crap.
Okay, is this the image where...
they're standing behind
Kratos is behind a tree and...
He's got his bow drawn.
Yeah, he got his bow drawn.
Yeah,
okay,
that does not look real.
Hmm.
It just does not... It looks like it's a like really good concept art.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this is what it's probably going to look like, but we're not there yet type of thing. I don't know. It looked horrible. To me, it looked absolutely atrocious. And I don't necessarily know why, because it's a dude who is painted all white. Oddly enough, for whatever reason, it works in a video game, but then seeing it in what is supposedly me being told by them that this is live action real, it looks horrible. Like, it doesn't translate. Mm-hmm. Or this is some kind of AI mock-up that doesn't translate. Or this is some high concept art that, again, doesn't translate. Like, it doesn't feel real.
Mm-hmm.
That image does not feel... It doesn't feel like something that is an actual thing. It looks like here's what it's supposed to look like. But from what they're telling us, that is the first image from the series.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you out there have seen it in Twitch land.
Yeah, I think I could put an image of it in the chat.
Yeah, throw it in there and see what chat decides to say about it, because it looks absolutely horrid. Just not great. In fact, while you do that, we're going to take a break.
There you go.
You guys go ahead and let me know what that looks like to you, and we'll read your replies when we come back from the break here. We are taking a break. This is a track from a game called Lost in Random. The name of the track is called Roll, Win, Repeat. From Lost in Random, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Off the Grid. Title is Last Man Standing.
Off the Grid.
Yeah.
Trying to think what type of genre that would be with that name.
I think it's a extraction shooter type thing. Yeah.
Stealth military type thing.
I think it's something to
off
that
the
effect.
Grid, I'm thinking stay hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Something in secret. That type of thing, yeah. Music certainly feels that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, welcome back into the show here. We're going to get into the news, but just to go back to that image for a minute, I finally looked at it again on my screen here, and it absolutely looked real now. It doesn't look AI, but for whatever reason, it also doesn't look... It doesn't give me hope.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that because I know that I've been in this situation before where people have said the same thing and I'm just like, man, just wait till you see it final, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I will give it that, you know, I'll give it that grace of fine. I'll wait till I see it actually in production. Like actually, this is the way you want us to see it type of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure what the zeitgeist has said about the whole thing. I haven't really looked into forums and stuff like that. I looked at the replies on Twitter. And again, going by things on Twitter, not necessarily something I really care to use as my guide of is this good or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thar says the same thing. We really need to see it in motion. I need to hear it. I need to see it. I need to see exactly what they're doing here. There's a lot in that image that's not working out for me. For one, Atreus looks extremely young. Maybe this is it's not a flashback because these are the two actors they hired. Looking at the bow, so...
Yeah, that bow looked really off to me.
It does look off. The draw looks off. The way what is it called?
But the alignment, the arrangement.
Yeah. Well, when you knock your bow,
mm-hmm.
I believe that's just when you put the arrow to the string. And then you draw. So the way he has knocked the bow or knocked the arrow in there, the fletching is just going to run right across the bow itself, or the bow when it goes through, which is you want to. He just needs to turn it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just need to turn a little bit, and that way you'll be okay. But it's legit going to have a problem when it goes when he releases. Mm-hmm. Likely, I am by no means an archer at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that looks weird. It really does. It looks a little strange. But whatever, we'll see how this plays out. Again, I need to withhold judgment until I actually see what I'm supposed to be seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that it looks better not zoomed in like I'm doing. Like, so I can look at it closer, you know, I click the thing and I zoom in. It looks much better when I don't do that.
You say it looks good from a distance, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It really looks better from a distance.
Yeah.
But you're right. Thar says just a screenshot like that makes it look like cosplay. It does. It looks like cosplay. It looks like really expensive cosplay. But not a multi-million dollar production. But we'll see. We have to wait and see. And I will do exactly that. I will give it the benefit of the doubt as I do with all these TV shows, because I'm just like, you know, it puts it out there. It's not, I still have the game to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily, this does not have to succeed in order for what has already succeeded to fail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this can live or die. It's not going to change the success and the game that I played previously, the two mm-hmm. games that I played previously. Those will always exist, and those will always be really, really good. I mean, their parts are, what is the term? I would say the sum of the whole is greater than the parts of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the actual saying is reversed on that. They're greater than the sum. But mm-hmm. I feel like the God of War and God of War Ragnarok played back to back give you a better story than played one when this came out and then 3 years later when the next one comes out, or ever how many years
it
was.
It is, God of War is pure story. And the sooner you
the 2019 absolutely is. I you know, to go back to the trilogy
mm-hmm.
that which apparently they're doing with the remake. To go back to that trilogy, I'm not sure. It's been forever since I played the trilogy, so I really don't know. I don't remember much.
Mm-hmm.
I remember what they were when they released, but I don't necessarily remember the story for 1, 2, and 3, you know? And if they were chained together in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas God of War leads right into God of War Ragnarok. They are a continuation of a whole thing.
Yeah.
And it is much better to take them in that than it is to take them as separate pieces.
Yeah.
The first one is good. It's really good. The second one is good. It's very good. But when you take them together as what they are, especially with the character development that you get from both Kratos and Atreus
mm-hmm.
through the whole thing, it is a sight to behold. It's really, really good. One of the better experiences I've had with a game and its sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Last of Us, which we could look at.
Yeah.
Last of Us's first game was just, that is your sweet spot. That yeah. is your, that
That's
is your
wheelhouse, your sweet spot.
That
you,
is your storytelling.
Get out the park on that one.
That is it. You know what?
Yeah.
You're real good there. And I would say there was probably somewhere in 2 where you could have hit that mark a second time.
Mm-hmm.
But blame it on me for taking so very long to play the sequel, or blame it on you for just trying to go far too much.
Your story took a direction that took I'll say for me, it took me out of it. You had your wheelhouse in mm-hmm. one, but then your story took a direction that took my interest
yeah.
out of it.
Completely. I liked what they were trying to do. I liked what they tried to do in the sequel. I liked the fact that they said that, you know, I mean, I was okay with the whole Joel situation in 2. I was fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't that didn't bother me because I think that we're totally getting off of off the list here. But it didn't bother me because I feel like if you really want to challenge yourself as a writer, as a storyteller, then let go of your crutches. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If find a way to find another way to tell a great story, but don't fall back on the same thing. And they didn't do that. Like, you could have easily just kept Joel and Ellie going through this whole thing together. But instead, within the first, whatever, hour of the game, you decided to kill Joel off in a brutal way. But that's fine, because that sets up whatever you're going to do with Ellie. I just didn't like what they did with Ellie. And I didn't like with what they did with her story from then on, and the way that they made you play through and play it like, okay, now we're going to let you play through. I've already forgotten the damn name of the woman. The antagonist.
Yeah. Dang it, now I'm going to have to look it up.
Right? I've completely forgotten what her name is.
Abby.
Abby.
Thank you, Thor. Abby.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten Abby's name. That's how much this stuck in my head.
Why does that make her a bad character?
Well, I don't know. It makes me bad memory. I don't necessarily know that it makes her a bad character because I watched a TV show where they're in it. I've seen the game plenty of times. Just name didn't stick.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
But having to go through the game playing as Ellie and then having to start all over again and playing as Abby to go through it. And I know what he was trying to do. It's like, let me put you in the shoes of both of these people so that it'll be you'll have a better understanding of their motivation and therefore an interesting appreciation of how these two are having their...
having their lives intermingled.
Their confrontation with each other and how that's going to play out for you as a player, knowing both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Will you have more of an emotional pull because you're having more sympathy for Abby or more sympathy for Ellie and whatever, whatever's going on there? I don't know, but it just went on far too long. And it's not... I think there's a way that it could have been just as good as the first one, but it didn't. It didn't hold up for me. That could be me for having to take that long gap in between my playing. I took forever to play 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say if that was on me or if that was on the game not holding its my attention as much as the first one
play,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Mm.
So, anyway. Moving on to some news because, I mean, we just spent way too long there. We really did, and there's a lot because we've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I mean, Highgarde is basically no more.
Yeah.
Highgarde is gone for the most part. I mean, yeah, it's still available to play, but there's like 20 people still working at the studio to keep the hamsters running in the servers.
Yeah.
It's basically dead. The funding came from Tencent. Here's what this tells me. I don't care how much money you put into a game. If you ain't making a good game, it won't survive.
Yeah.
You got a company like Tencent who is bankrolling you, and they have enough bankroll to they could fund a couple hundred dozen video game companies. I mean, they're massively wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they put money into Highgarde, and Highgarde has failed because people don't want that. I say that, and yet here's Marathon doing this demo for Marathon doing massive numbers,
mm-hmm.
Which I have not yet downloaded. That may be a project for tomorrow. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't downloaded the server slam thing, the playtest. I haven't done that yet. I don't know that I will. Part of me is like, because I keep reading reviews, I keep reading impressions of people playing it. And there's praise, but there's also like, it's confusing. I can't get my mind around it, get my playing around it.
Yeah, the biggest criticism I'm hearing about Marathon
is the UI.
Yeah. The people are, it's overload. It's kind of like, it feels like what happened when I get to a multiplayer online game late, when I get there late to the party.
Yeah.
And there's so many things you can do. And you just get overload, and you don't know where to start, where to begin, how to start your character, start your journey at all. That's what it felt like looking at the folks talking about the difficulty they were having with the UI of Marathon during the demo.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I had anybody who was in our Discord that may be playing it. I know some of my guys from my Destiny group were looking into playing it as well. Mm-hmm. My buddy Vince, which I haven't played with him. I haven't talked to him in a while. God, I haven't talked to those guys in a long time. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get his head around it,
mm-hmm.
and was just not having the best of time to do it. He was going to put more time into it, though. Some of the guys from my old clan had put in time and said that, yeah, it was a little bit janky at first, but the more time I put into it, the better it's starting to, you know, mm-hmm. embed in me, like, this is how it works, this is how it goes. Things are starting to fall into place and click.
In a situation like that, you can't take any time. Imagine how much you have to relearn when you take time off. How long is it going to take before you start losing that memory of how to get back into the swing of things?
Well, the game releases in March.
Yeah, but I'm still saying when you play the game, mm-hmm. if you take a lengthy amount of time off of that, how long is it going to be before you have to relearn all that stuff you had to learn to play the game?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You know, some games we play and we take off and we'll get back into it pretty quick. You know, mm-hmm. you forget to play, but it doesn't take long for you to get back into it. Something like Marathon, the difficulty folks are having with it from the jump.
Yeah.
If they take any time off away from that game, how long is it going to be before they get back into it? And I don't think it's going to be quick.
Mm-mm. No.
Unless they make some changes to it with the information they get from playing the demo.
I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't know that I'm going to play it. I'm not sure. I mean, it's there for me to play, to try it out if I want to. But
mm-hmm. yeah,
at this point, I'm not, you know, I had told you, 2 weeks ago that I was worried that I might get caught back in the loop, you know?
Bug again, yeah.
Like, I really hope I don't get addicted to this thing. I look at it now, or at least the impressions I'm reading, I don't have that fear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't necessarily have that fear because when I look at it, I don't feel the urge to play it. Mm-hmm. Reading some of this stuff about like the time to kill is really fast or low or whatever the case may be, it doesn't feel like a game that I would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a consistent, constant multiplayer game where it's you versus another player, I guess.
I think, another complaint was the missions are all the same, not a lot of variety in the missions that you do in this game.
And do you do it solo or do you team up? I don't remember.
I mean, it's solo team up, but it's like the format is like all the missions like push button in mission, mm-hmm. like or something like that.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if there's a lot of variation in the mission structure for the demo right now.
Yeah, we also had. Speaking of Bungie, they delayed a major Destiny 2 update by 3 months to focus on quality of life updates. The things that I'm reading about that basically is telling me that most of that game is dead now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are kind of moving on from it. They'll come back to it when this update hits, maybe, but mm-hmm. it just seems like that is not going anywhere. And with the amount of time they're putting in to work on Marathon, I don't see Destiny lasting much longer. And I don't necessarily mean it's going to go away. I just mean the player base is just going to shrink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it'll absolutely die. They'll come up with something to inject something into it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll work on a D3. I don't know, but you know, I don't know. It's not doing too great from what I understand. What else do we have? There was a lot of news, and I'm not going to be able to get to all of it. In the time that we have, we finally got a release date for Wolverine. It gets released September 15th. It says it's released exclusively for PlayStation 5 on September 15th. So that is when we're going to get that, which, you know.
Exclusive, okay.
That's enough time to release a single-player game, which is what Wolverine is, and not get chewed up by the Grand Theft Auto 6 release, which is November 19th.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when we're going to get the Wolverine game. We also had a huge shakeup over at Xbox. Phil Spencer retired. Sarah Bond resigned. And the AI boss, huh?
Yeah, some say fired.
Yeah.
Sarah Bond.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the you can't fire me, I quit, right?
Yeah.
Microsoft's AI boss became the new Microsoft Gaming CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer will step down as Microsoft Gaming CEO on Monday, February the 23rd. The company announced on Friday. This is going back a while. Spencer will be replaced by Asha Sharma, who joined Microsoft in 2024 as president of its core AI product, which she describes as leading the product portfolio for AI models, apps, agents, responsible AI, and developer tools for customers worldwide. Get that AI crap out of here. I'm not going to read all this stuff here as far as his statement and everything else. You can find that online. But yeah, I was pretty shocked to see it. Sharma also reportedly emailed Microsoft staff explaining her expectations for Xbox as she steps into Spencer's role. My first job is simple: understand what makes this work and protect it. Sharma said Xbox has to make three commitments in order to ensure future success, the first being great games. Everything begins here, she said. We must have great games, beloved by players, before we do anything. Unforgettable characters, stories that make us feel, innovative gameplay, and creative excellence. We will empower our studios, invest in iconic franchises, and back bold new ideas. We will take risks. We will enter new categories and markets where we can add real value, grounded in what players care about most. For whatever that means. The second commitment, according to Sharma, is the return of Xbox, while also maintaining the brand's current policy of multi-format releases. We will commit to our core Xbox fans and players, those who have invested with us for the past 25 years, and to the developers who build the expansive universes and experiences that are embraced by players across the world. We will celebrate our roots with a renewed commitment to Xbox, starting with console, which has shaped who we are. Gaming now lives across devices, not within the limits of any single piece of hardware. As we expand across PC, mobile, cloud, and cloud, Xbox should feel seamless, instant, and worthy of the communities we serve. What else did she say? She also stated that Xbox will commit to the future of play, specifically noting that Xbox would not focus on soulless AI slop, which is an interesting comment given the core AI role she's about to depart from.
Yeah.
We are witnessing the reinvention of play. To meet the moment, we will invent new business models and new ways to play by leaning into what we already have. Teams, characters, and worlds that people love. As monetization and AI evolve and influence this future, we will not chase short-term efficiency or flood our ecosystem with soulless AI slop. Sure.
Yeah, I think the general consensus...
We shall wait and see.
Yeah, I think general consensus was a wait and see approach because you're trying to get away from AI, but the head of AI was put in the position.
What?
Definitely going to take a wait and see approach on that one.
And then there's more. There's a whole lot more to get into that we're going to try and cover in the next 30 minutes that we have, especially that whole situation with Blue Point Studios that came up. There's a whole lot of news here that we really didn't get to, and I know we're not done with the show yet, but I know that we're not going to be able to get to everything here. Then, you know what? I'll just wait till we come back. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go back into the news here. I got music from The Alters, which is a great game, great concept of a game. It's the main theme of The Alters. It came out last year. I actually have a copy of it, and haven't really gotten into playing it too much, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Here's The Alters. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from FBC Firebreak. I think that's the Remedy guys. Little multiplayer game set in the like Control universe or whatever. This is called Saving Your Skin. Welcome back to the show. Going to try and get in as much as we can in the next 20 minutes. And at least try and do it justice. You know what I'm saying? Not just be like, here's a headline, here's a headline, here's a headline. Because I really wanted to get into it. One of the big things, well, I say it's a big thing. Look, people lost their jobs. There are places that got laid off, and that's a very huge thing for that. I have not yet looked at the number of video game job losses since the last time I posted a show post, but I expect that number to be larger this time. I actually expect it to be larger every single week I post it, just because that's the nature of the industry lately. However, something that we have talked about a lot is a remake of Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. And apparently we were going to get one, or at least we were pitched one. We weren't, but there was a remake pitched.
Yeah, there was a pitch made, yeah.
That From Software said, nah. They said no. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was Sony that didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that this was something that that From Software wanted to do, or at least a company wanted to do, and that Sony was like, no, we're good. Make something else. From Software doesn't want anyone else to remake Bloodborne, apparently, and that includes the soon-to-be-shuttered studio Bluepoint Games. Bluepoint got shuttered, by the way.
Yeah.
Bluepoint did a lot of remakes. I think they did Dark Souls, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They had Dark Souls, Shadow of the Colossus.
Demon Souls.
I'm sorry. They did Demon Souls, Shadow of the Colossus. A couple of other titles as well, which I probably have here to look at. But Bluepoint reportedly pitched a Bloodborne remake to Sony Interactive Entertainment in 2025, but the project was turned down by From Software. According to this report, when Bluepoint pitched a Bloodborne remake, it was told, here's the quote, that the numbers made sense, but From Software, who are the original developers of that game, didn't want it to happen. A Bloodborne remake or remaster has long been a request from fans, especially in the wake of Bluepoint's high-gloss work on Demon's Souls and remakes like Shadow of the Colossus, but nothing has been materialized, possibly because Bloodborne game director and From Software president does not want anyone else touching his baby. That's according to former PlayStation executive Shuhei Yoshida, who said that Bloodborne was the most asked-for thing by PlayStation fans and theorized that its creator was hesitant to let others recreate or modify his work. My theory, and this I'm quoting Yoshida here, he says, my theory is he really, really loved Bloodborne. I think he is interested, but he's so successful and he's so busy he cannot do it himself, but he doesn't want anyone else to touch it. That's my theory. And the PlayStation team respects his wish, and that is his guess. It does say that From Software are indeed quite busy. They are currently working on a new version of Elden Ring for Nintendo Switch 2 and a Switch 2 exclusive game called The Duskbloods. They're also rumored to be working on an unannounced multi-platform project and has a movie adaptation of Elden Ring in development. So, yeah. Doesn't look like we're getting Bloodborne. A remake of Bloodborne at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I would just have preferred, like, hey, release it on PC.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not getting that either.
I think that's more of the gist of what people really wanted, the Bloodborne on PC than a remake.
Yeah, people have been able to figure out how to do that, but it's not technically legal. It's not, you know, it's not something you kind of can do.
Yeah, I know. We know that if someone wants something bad enough, they'll take a chance.
Highguard reportedly has less than 20 devs working on it following mass layoffs at Wildlight Studios. Former staff call it hubris because they're talking about what went wrong with it. And they say, oh, it's hubris. Apparently they thought, well, you know, the hype that our trailer is going to build up from the Game Awards will get us what we need or what. I don't know. They felt like it was just going to be nothing to be successful.
Yeah.
And it absolutely was not successful.
Yeah.
Discord has delayed their controversial age verification rollout, saying that it missed the mark following community outcry. Good. You know what? I'll give you credit, Discord, for listening to the community. And for saying, hey, we're not going to do that. You may not say that we made a mistake, we're sorry, but you definitely said we're not going to do that because you guys made too much of a stink about it. Well, thanks. Remember that the next time we make too much of a stink about a thing. Probably for the best that you don't do it.
Still watch them.
I know.
Have it repurposed as something else, or repackaged as something else, I should say.
Styx publisher Nacon files for insolvency just a week after they had released their latest game. So yeah, there's a company that released a game that did pretty good, not bad. And now they are now they're cutting back.
Another example of a successful game doesn't mean success with a company.
They're going to file for insolvency with the court and request the opening of judicial reorganization proceedings. That is to say, it cannot service its debts and has asked the courts to step in. Nacon is considering procedures intended to facilitate the restructuring of its debt under the supervision of the court. This might seem out of the blue, and it is. The last Styx game released less than a week ago. And then they announced the date of a Nacon Connect event, and I could be mispronouncing their name. It could be Nacon. I don't know. But then they ran into some issues. Yeah, it's the procedure will enable the company to continue its business, renegotiate its debt, and develop a credible and effective continuation plan. French courts are expected to rule on their request for reorganization in early March, while a suspension in the trading of the company's shares put into effect on February 20th remains in place. Not looking good for them either. And then, of course, they had the mass layoffs at Ubisoft. March's PlayStation Plus Essential Games did not seem great. If I remember right. Slime Rancher 2, The Elder Scrolls Online, Gold Road Collection, Monster Hunter Rise, and PGA 2K25. If I'm reading that right. Yeah, PGA Tour 2K25.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're getting for March for our PlayStation Plus. It's one of those that if I forget it, I'm not necessarily going to be disappointed. If I forget to claim the games, I'm probably not going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? Marathon Server Slam stirs Steam with nearly 150,000 concurrent players day one. And that does not even count console participants. I don't know how it's doing on console. I mean, we can look at the numbers for Steam easily. I don't know what it's doing like on Xbox. Marathon Server Slam kicked off yesterday and attracted a healthy number of players on Steam in the past 24 hours. The game has brought in a peak of 143,621 concurrent players just on PC. By the way, the game is set to launch March 5th, so you're not going to have to wait long after you play this demo. It is free to download and try out for anybody interested in the game. It's available on Steam, PlayStation, and Xbox. For context, Ark Raider's final public beta test also broke above the 100,000 concurrent peak milestone soon after its release. It reached an all-time peak of 189,668. So for those keeping track of the numbers, as an indicator of launch success, the hope is that Marathon can stack an extra 40,000 or so over the weekend. Indeed, it's hard not to compare the two games. Ark Raiders, while certainly not the first extraction shooter to make a big splash, certainly brought the subgenre into the spotlight since its launch last year. It has proven exceptionally popular and arguably opened the door for other extraction shooters to tap into that engaged audience. Marathon, which has by no means had a hurdle-free development cycle, may be able to emulate a similar success. We shall see. Mm. Server Slam ends on March 2nd.
And I looked up for numbers on the consoles, and I get responses to estimates since those numbers are private.
Yeah.
It says, including console and PC, it could be between 250,000 and 300,000 if you include the console numbers with the PC numbers, but
yeah, it's just gonna be one of those things where maybe it works, maybe it don't. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Just gonna have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? Yeah, that was more the Radical Entertainment. The guys that made The Simpsons Hit and Run and Prototype. Yeah, the two Prototype games. Also, The Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which was a really fun Incredible Hulk game.
Mm-hmm.
And The Simpsons Hit and Run were all great open-world games before open-world games became a thing. And they all have one thing in common. Radical Entertainment was their developer. Now, after being shut down by Activision over a decade ago, the studio seems to have returned. Apparently there's a company called New Radical Games, which already has a shiny website highlighting the new studio's origins and pedigree. There's not much to say about it. It's just like, oh, okay, Radical Games. Well, I mean, I'm sure they don't have the licenses to Hulk and Simpsons anymore, but I'm sure they maybe Prototype. I don't know. They did Crash Tag Team Racing. That's interesting. The buzz about a potential Prototype remaster has been a thing for quite some time now. Anyway, that's all we got, was that a new studio from Radical Entertainment is apparently alive and well now. So maybe we get something from them, maybe we don't. Oh, that was the other thing. When I was talking about earlier about the RAM issues for Steam Deck, it was Sony.
Yeah.
It was pushing back the launch of the next PlayStation as far back as 2099. I'm sorry, 2029. Jesus. Forgive me. I did not mean 2099. What is that Cyberpunk? No, that's 2077.
2077.
Isn't it? Yeah. Sorry.
Lord, what a delay. Thanks,
right?
AI. Thanks, AI.
The fact that the AI boom is threatening to crater the entire consumer computer market isn't news, but the specifics can be, and in this case, it's a bit of a bombshell. According to Bloomberg, Sony is considering whether to push back its next-gen console as far back as 2029. In a story titled Rampant AI Demand for Memory is Fueling a Growing Chip Crisis, Bloomberg says, Sony Group Corp is now considering pushing back the debut of its next PlayStation console to 2028 or even 2029, according to people familiar. Goes on to say the move to delay the console would be a major upset to a carefully orchestrated strategy to sustain user engagement between hardware generations. Bloomberg further claims that close rival Nintendo, which contributed surplus demand in 2025 after new Switch 2 console drove storage card purchases, it's also contemplating raising the price of that device in 2026. So, yeah. The story overall is a tale of pretty much unmitigated doom, naming figures including Apple's Tim Cook and Elon Musk as warning of a global crisis in the making due to the shortage of memory chips. The fundamental reason for the squeeze is the build-out of AI data centers. Companies like Alphabet Inc. and OpenAI are gobbling up an increasing share of memory chip production by buying millions of NVIDIA Corp. AI accelerators that come with huge allotments of memory to run their chatbots and other applications. That's left consumer electronics producers fighting over a dwindling supply of chips from the likes of Samsung and Micron. The story also discusses the specific impact on the PC. The premium and DIY PC segment was hit hard when Micron decided last year to end its popular Crucial brand of consumer memory sticks after three decades in operation. Crucial's demise started a stampede to secure as much inventory as they could, driving memory prices to new highs in January. Across 2025, Falcon Northwest's average selling price rose by $1,500 to roughly $8,000 for each custom-made computer. Goes on to explain just how widespread this impact will be, well beyond PCs and PlayStations. It's leaving the rest of the world bereft of the memory that people need to store cell phone photos, steer cars, download movies, and run computer programs. There really isn't much more to add. We're just going to have to wait, essentially powerless to see how all of this unfolds. It's not like it's straightforward to simply hope that the whole AI thing crashes. What would the possible broader economic fallout that might entail? Mm-hmm. It just does not look good. I feel like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I haven't really priced anything. The memories or anything, memory sticks or anything like that. I know the graphics card prices have gone back up.
Mm-hmm.
They were down the last half of the year in 2025.
Yeah.
In September, they were coming down. October, they came down. By November and December, they were down to their retail prices.
Mm-hmm.
And you could find maybe a tiny little sale on a few of them that knocked off maybe 60, 50 bucks, something like that. But they had dropped down to what their retail price should be rather than being marked up to what they were originally.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, cards that were retailing for like $750, $800, or that was the MSRP, they were being sold for like $1,000 or more because of the shortage or because of whatever the reason was. And a lot of the reviews on those cards, at least the ones that released last year, were saying it's not worth the money. You're buying something that has been, the price has been inflated on. If you're sitting at this, just sit at this. Do not upgrade. Mm-hmm. Because all you're doing is feeding the machine. If they know you'll buy it at this price, that's where the price is going to stay.
Yep.
Stop doing it. And I guess eventually they did, because the prices did come down. But now with the memory shortage, the worry of the memory shortage sent a lot of people back to, like, I'm going to pick up all this stuff now before it's like gas, you know?
Panic buying.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You hear, you know, we just had the Iran thing that's going on right now, today. Mm-hmm. There's probably a lot of people who are like, ooh, what's that going to do for oil prices, right? What's that going to do for gas? Maybe I should stock up now before this gets bad. It's the same thing that worked with the memory situation.
Yeah.
Like, I better stock up now before this gets bad. Because, and especially the way this is going to hold out until 2029, I'm not talking about the war anymore, I'm talking about the memory prices.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a long time before prices kind of settle back down and come back to the way that they should be, if ever. It all depends on how this AI thing goes.
Mm-hmm.
How long it takes before the AI bubble bursts, if it does at all. And God, I hope it does. Not because I want to upgrade, not because I want to, like, not because it's like, man, I really want to spend money. I wish they would drop the prices. That's not the case. It's just like, it's just going to make things worse.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are going to be stuck. If you're going to be stuck at all, you may not even be stuck. You may just be out of luck. You just may be SOL. Rather than being stuck, depending on what that may be. You may be stuck with whatever phone you have because the next ones are going to be way too expensive. You may be stuck with whatever. I don't know, because memory apparently is used in tons of things.
Yeah, it is.
And those, the aspects of those things, the prices of those things are going to go up. You may think, well, in other words, your car has RAM in it. You may think, well, my car is it. Well, no, there is a computer inside your car. Or there is a component that goes into your car that uses memory. Your car may not have it itself, but that may become a...
Look, just because you don't have a touchscreen on your dashboard doesn't mean that car doesn't have some type of memory running through it right now.
Exactly, and so, that may end up being a feature now, where it's like, do you want the thing that has the memory? Because that's going to add on another $1,500 to your price of the car.
Like, no, it's like, do you want the thing that has less memory than the other option you got for buying this car?
You know, it'll become an option.
Yeah.
You want your car to have memory? No, nope. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And if it doesn't, then what does that pull off? I don't know. I'm not a car guy. But I just, so many things use memory,
mm-hmm.
Use RAM. And it's just, it's looking bleak. And it's going to continue looking bleak. Yeah, I know. Who was it? The guy from Gamers Nexus talked about the fact that we may be renting memory now.
Wow.
Yeah. Because why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants to become, and we do not have enough time. I was going to say, everybody wants to become a subscription service because that means they make money all
over and over and
over and over, and over all year long. So anyway, we got to go. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back next week, of course. We really do appreciate it. Sorry we got to rush on this, but I've only got like a minute left. Here is music from a game called Date Everything. It's called the Afternoon Theme. You guys have a fantastic week. We will see you next Saturday. Have a good one. Bye.